like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot,
Elenita. For those here that know me, that's my favorite song, and Elenita's just got my blood boiling already. Welcome here to Bethel Baptist Church of Morgan Hill, and we thank you for choosing us to come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. We ask if you're a first-time attender here that you would just tear off this section in the bulletin that you've received and put it in the offering box. The pastor would just like to send you a thank you note. I'd like to open up with Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. I have a few messages for us this morning. On Wednesday, we want to remind you that we do have the prayer meeting, and Pastor does bring a lesson on that night, and we're starting a new lesson, and that's the doctrine of anthropology, the doctrine of man. Also, we'd like to let you know that in the ladies' ministry, that there are some positions of service needed. There's a fellowship coordinator needed, a nursery coordinator, a helping hands, and missions coordinator. Also, again, to remind you that our church anniversary will be on October 11th, And we also need people to help with the setup and serving and the cleanup for that day. And if you would please see Dana Noriel about that. And again, we'd like to remind you that you can reach Pastor. There's a telephone number here to reach Pastor at any time, with an exception I see here on Mondays. And that number is 408-390-0998. Also today, there will be a service at Pacific Hill Manor at 2:30, and our brother Russ Goodman will be presiding there today. Visit with the pastor and choir practice and children's ministry will all be at 4 o'clock today. And then our last service of the day will be at 6 p.m., the evening service, where Pastor will be bringing in the book of Amos, chapter 8. We would ask, let's open up in prayer. Forgive me. Almighty God, glory unto thy holy name. Blessed art thou, our Father. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because you have shed thy mercy upon our soul through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God himself dying for us so that we may live again with him. Almighty Lord, may you be with us today as we seek to praise thy holy name, to bring forth thy gospel, and to praise you in spirit and truth, Almighty God. Help us to do this, O Lord God. May you use us as vessels as we proclaim the gospel, that you will call more of thy children into thy kingdom. We pray, O Lord God, for the missionaries that we support and all the missionaries all over the world and the United States. May you continue to use them, Almighty God, to proclaim thy gospel, to also call more of thy children into thy kingdom, and may you watch over and protect them and keep their families from evil. Almighty Father, we pray for this nation that we live in, the United States of America. May you shed thy mercy and grace upon this country. May you forgive the evilness and the sins of this country. May you watch over and have mercy upon our president and all government officials that look at one another and seek to govern this world. May they seek you first, O Lord God, for wisdom, guidance, and direction to serve you, and then all of our problems will be settled. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We ask that you would please stand and take the hymnal and sing hymn number 39.
Father, we thank you that you provide for us last week. And we pray for those that for certain reasons they have not been able to work, that you will open a door for them so that they have to provide for their family and for the kingdom of God. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. This is Pastor Otero is speaking to you from the back of the church at the moment of the offertory, and I'm talking to all the people that are there in the large listening audience of our broadcast. First, I want to give you my personal phone number in case you need to be in touch with me, and that's 408-390-0998. And be patient, within 10 to 15 minutes, I'll be back talking to you. I will appreciate if you take the exception of Monday so the pastor can have Mondays off. Then also, I want to announce openly that we will have a church anniversary, 16 years of church existence, on Sunday the 11th. Pastor is arriving just 1 week before that. I will be in Mexico for weeks. And then I want to let you know that this church anniversary carry a big dinner and paid by the church. Missionary Eusebio Perez from Malaga in the Belda Madena area of Spain will be here. Churches from the south in South California will be here. People that I have preached will come with their representation, 10, 12 people. The church in Lodi will be here. There will be a meeting of churches here, and we expect 200-300 people. So please just call the church office, 778-2595. And make your reservation. It will be a great day of celebration to say thank you, Lord, for 16 years of ministry. And now let's join the church in service. God bless you.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 60. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, glory unto thy holy name, the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O blessed Father, may you continue thy mercies and grace upon us this day. May you be merciful today, Almighty God, as thy gospel goes out by thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you will call more of thy children. And Father, we look at this commandment, thy shall not kill. May you give our pastor wisdom and guidance and direction to bring forth what you mean in this, O Lord God, by using of thy gospel. And we ask, O Lord God, that you'll be with him and guide him and direct him. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you so much, and let's look to the Lord in prayer as we are ready to study God's word today in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus our Lord. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter of the scripture, may really teach us what the Word of God has to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As you look into the Bible, I'm going to, once again, for the sake of those who perhaps are guests, to let you know that in this church, we hold the scripture as the very Word of God. Infallible, and with the only is this is the only authority. It is not the church, it is not the pastor, it is the book. And may this pastor bow himself to the scripture, and may the Holy Spirit be kind to give me the insight and the understanding so that I can convey to you what God said. And God forbid if I ever say something that God doesn't say. Now, we are in the commandments, and we are in commandment number 6, which falls into the Bible in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. If you ever need a commentary about the commandments and how they are divided and so on, I'm going to read it for you. It's right here in the Bible. You don't need to go to the bookstore and buy a commentary about the commandments of God. You move your Bible, put one hand in Exodus, and you move your Bible to Matthew's chapter 22. In Matthew's chapter 22, Jesus was asked about the commandments. And you know, for some reason, I always question why Jesus was questioned about the commandment by lawyers. Lawyers who were experts in the commandments, lawyers who knew the law of God. They spent the graduate school and the academic years, and they were, you know, in those times they don't have university like we do today. When you go to a school to be a lawyer, you just study with another lawyer, and you study your life, and then you become a lawyer after maybe 30 or 20 years of study. It was not a 10-year course on law. And I'm surprised that these Pharisees come with the question, what does the law say? And now I know why. Today, people question the commandments of God. And you know what people say today? They say, we are confused about this, and we don't know which commandment is which. Amazing. Amazing. So the question came, Jesus, what are the commandments and what is important in the commandment and so on? And then Jesus divided the commandments in two sections. Look at verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That means every part of you. Is that right? Every part of you should love God. So these are the four commandments. Commandment number one, I want you to put one hand in Matthew's because I'm going to go back again and go to Exodus 20 so that you know what are the commandments. Commandment number one is verse 2, I am the Lord, God is. Commandment number 2, verse 3-6. Thou shalt have no other God. God is unreplaceable. You can't replace God for anything. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in, or misuse the name of God in vain. And so that's commandment number 3. God is very serious about his name. All right. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day. God is very serious about his day. So these are the first four commandments. And so Jesus said, thou shalt love thy God with everything you got. So you know that God is sovereign, God of the universe, God is. And we cannot explain it more than that. I am. And then God is unreplaceable. Your work cannot replace God, yourself and your selfishness cannot replace God. The church cannot replace God. The pastor cannot replace God. Any image that you see in creation, a tree, as beautiful as they are, and as gorgeous as flowers are, otherwise you ask the deers, they love it. They cannot replace God. Nobody can replace God. And then God said, my name is very serious. I am Yahweh, Jehovah. He's very serious. And then he said, I have set a day aside, the Sabbath of the Lord, which falls now after Matthew 28:1 on the first day of the week. This is my day, said the Lord in Isaiah 58:13. Now, if you love God, you follow this through. You follow this through. And then Jesus in Matthew 22, and then in verse 39, he gave us a picture of the other section of the commandments. He say in verse 39, and the second should be the second set of commandments is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What did Jesus is saying is this. The second section of the commandments are related to mankind. And so we already studied the fifth commandment. God is serious about the family. Very serious about the family. See, you shall, the second commandment has equal importance like the first commandment. And is in relationship to one another. The first set of four is in relationship to God. The other is the relationship between ourselves. And what is the first commandment about ourselves? Our family. We should honor our parents. Now the second commandment is in relationship to our duty, to the sanctity of life. And this is what I'm trying to explain today. Thou shalt not kill. And that's in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 13. And as I develop the teaching, you will understand quickly that the word kill, translated in the King James Version, failed to express the motivations whereby God wrote that word. And so God really, in the original, have a word a little more intense than the word to kill. See, people today have become desensitized or hardened about loneliness, violence, and killing. Well, I tell you something, our mind are being bombarded by act after act of violence and killing every day of our life. And this is done through the newspaper, through the television's news, through radio talks and magazines you buy. Everything is violence and killing. Life is pictured today in the world as cheap by both the media and the entertainment industry. Life is very, very cheap. Every day of our life are filled with the image and the thoughts of violence and killing as a natural thing. So I believe the subject of this commandment is desperately needed today. And so we're going to ask the classic questions to the text in verse 13. The first question is, who is to obey this commandment? Who is to obey this commandment? And there are some people who have the courage to write in the bottom of their Bible, I mean authors, who said, this is only for Israel, I shall not kill. Ooh, they're off. Who should obey this commandment? Now, how is this commandment violated or broken? We should find out how. There are four areas in which people break this commandment. And then finally, what is the remedy for killing? What is the remedy? A larger jail? A strong laws in the country? Tough judges? What's the remedy? Okay, let's look to the scripture and see again what God says in his word. Now, who is to obey these commandment? Now, look at again in verse 13. What is the first word that you find in verse 13? And the word is thou. Now, what is that word in grammar? Well, that word in grammar is a personal pronoun. It's the second personal pronoun, second person, and it's singular. And how do you translate a personal pronoun, the second person, as singular when you speak to a group of people? You said everyone. That would be the correct English interpretation of the word thou. Every one of you. And the answer then is obvious. You shall not kill. Every one of you. See, the commandment is saying that the motives and the emotions that arouse a person to kill, the desires, the passion, the greed, the anger, the wrath, the revenge, all of these are to be put under control. You, every one of you, as the ages fall one upon the other, shall not kill. I don't know what you understand about the age of this earth. Science people say it's millions and millions of years. I think they are really wrong. It's a very new earth. But from the time that commandment has been given until now, as long as there is one of you, the law says you shall not kill. So the commandment was not given only to Israelites. The commandment was not only given to the people, the ancient world. The commandment is given to you and to me even today. See, that's why I told you at the beginning, I hold the Word of God. See, I don't have to improve the Word of God. I don't have to add tomorrow. I don't have to vote in the church, the elders, and add another article because something new come on the earth and is not in the Word of God. I guarantee it, like the guy who sells suits. I guarantee it that everything that's going to happen in this world is right here in the Bible. I guarantee it. And so the Bible says, you shall not kill. Now, let's work. How is this commandment broken, violated? Well, first, the meaning of the word kill. You see, the commandment said, thou shall not kill. Now, you say in Hebrew, ra, to kill. But when you say in Hebrew, ha, rasah, you say murder. Murder. See, the Hebrew language has a different verb system than the English language. Entirely different than Latin, where the English language borrow their grammar. Entirely different. The Hebrew language, you can say something now, something a little hyper now, and something really, really hot on the same word. In other words, there is an intensity of expression. And the word written there in verse 13 is the word to murder. And so the commandment is saying, every one of you shall not murder. That's the meaning. So a premeditated, planned, deliberated, intentional killing is murder. Is that right? That's what the law in the United States says. Premeditation, plan, deliberation, intentional killing is murder. All right? That is why the commandment is saying. You cannot plan to kill somebody because you hate it. You cannot really intentionally do something in a car accident to kill somebody because you hate that person and do something like that. You can kill by murder, they say the scripture. Now, what does mean? You know, people ask questions. I read a commentary who said, what does mean to murder? Well, we don't have to go to the law of the United States. We go to the law of the Bible. There are three things the Bible says. Personal, planned murders, attack upon a person is prohibited. Let me show it to you. Genesis chapter 4. You remember Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we have the first murder on this earth. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, all the way to verse 8. God have told Adam to worship him through an offering. And so he passed the word to his children. And when they came to worship the Lord, Abel offered a sacrifice acceptable unto God. And Cain did as many people do today. They did good works. He took the best of his fruit of the ground and brought it to God and was not good. That's a great spiritual teaching itself. You and I can have the best intentions of our heart. You and I can have the best desires of our heart, but that's no good unless God put those desires on it. Your desires and my desires are as garbage before the Lord. Is that too strong? But that's what they are. So Cain get upset. Doesn't see, like many people today, Cain doesn't see that his good works are no good. That there is another way. And his brother is doing right there the sacrifice. His brother is saying, I'm no good, so I bring this lamb who take my place. That's what Abel was doing. And Cain said, no, I do it myself. Like, you got children in your home? I have a granddaughter, very, very wonderful. It's a saint of God. But when come to do something, we're in the table. And I said, the knife goes to the right. You hold the fork on the left, and you do this. Don't do like the American. They pass the fork to the right. That's a no-no. You hold the fork on your left, and you do this. And say, I do it myself, you know? You go in the car, and you say, you want this? I do it myself. You know, it's fantastic. So that's what Cain said. I know what Abel is doing. He's saying he's no good, so he brought the lamb. But I'm good. That's what people mean when you said, I'm going to do it myself. So I hate my brother. And look at what happened. Verse 5. Genesis 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. This is God speaking. And Cain was very wrath. And his countenance failed. You know, when people are in anger, the first thing you notice is what? It is a vein here. Is that right? That happened to you, happened to me. The veins here, you. I don't know why. The body, the blood, whatever, the Dr. McCormick can explain this, but it's a change. And you get boiling. And that's what happened here. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrath? And why does countenance falling? What are you changing this? If thou dost well, shall not be accepted. In other words, if you said, I'm no good, God have mercy on me. If you say that, you will be accepted. But you know, even that, we don't have the power to say it unless God touches our life. I read it right here. Now, here is God. Now, you want better evangelist than God? You can. God is inviting Cain, and he's saying to Cain, Cain, if you throw yourself in my hands, I save you. And how deep in depravity is our heart? Verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wrath? Verse 7, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that he asked, well, how you do this? Well, where do you learn this? What papa told you? No, look it. When they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and murdered him. That's what the commandment is talking about. Personal, planned, murderous attack upon a person is prohibited. And murder him. And verse 9, the Lord asked Cain, where is Abel? And here you see the sin and the depravity of the heart. I'm my brother's keeper. So now let's go back to Exodus. What does mean thou shalt not murder? Personal premeditated killing is not acceptable. No excuse about it. It is not acceptable. Now, there is another murder that is not acceptable in the Bible, and for which United States of America is guilty by millions. This is what I call private murder. It's called abortion. I care less if I'm an unpopular preacher by saying this, but I tell you, what you mother, some of you are pregnant, what you have in your body is not a thing, it's a human being. What you have in your belly is not a dog or an elephant, it's a baby. How do I know? Well, let's go to the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalms, the book of Job, chapter 31 and verse 15. The book of Job, chapter 31 and verse 15. And look at the statement made by this saint of God, which is actually made by God through Job. Job 31, verse 15. Did not he that made me in the womb make him? Did not he that made me where? In the womb. You see, whatever you ladies have in the womb is not a thing and becomes a man at the moment they pull it out. At the moment that the doctor, at the moment of your birth, when you're going to give birth and the baby comes out, it's transformed right there from a thing to a baby. No, ladies and gentlemen. To be sure, this one time, Dr. McCormick was very kind to show me in the books the pregnancies at the 8 days and at 16 days and the 24 days and more by month. And I looked at, not just to learn and had no interest to deliver any baby. I just want to see from the scientific point of view what they said. And those books were not saying this is a thing. They were saying this is the formation of a human being. Let's go to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 and in verse 73. Thy hand hath made me and fashioned me. Thy hands, talking about God, have made me and fashioned me. The hands of God, ladies who are pregnant, listen. If you're not pregnant, just make more babies. We need more babies in this church. Here's what happened. The hand of God is making that baby. Some people are concerned about the conception. God is in control of conception. There are couples who want to have babies and they can't because God is in control of conception. God is in control of conception. The hands of God made it. Now, I was asked by a psychologist, and you said there is a baby there. Does the baby understand? Oh, yeah, look here. Jeremiah, my favorite prophet. So much that Mr. and Mrs. Trout, they have children. One is Isaiah, the other is Daniel, and the other have another name, but I just baptized them by the name Jeremiah because I really love the name Jeremiah. What a prophet is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 4, in verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, is God explaining Jeremiah his ministry? Usually, I grew up 18. I knew I have a call of the Lord, and I postponed it until the age of 28. For 10 years, I became an engineer, a successful engineer in Argentina, a successful engineer here in America, had my own office, my own building in San Mateo, had 7 people working for me, doing drawings, working for Bethel Corporation as a contractor. I did all kinds of things by myself. But in my heart, I want to preach the word. Until the day that God said, basta, stop. And I went into the ministry. Also, I went to school. I learn in the school and so on. But look at Jeremiah. Look at how, what school Jeremiah went. Look at here. Verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, where does God make an individual? In the belly. God doesn't make a baby after the thing comes out. God makes it right in the belly. That's what the Bible said. Verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Wow! Not only a baby has a form of a baby, but that baby has a mind, an understanding, and a knowledge, and God knew him. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, I separated you, and not only that, I ordain thee, I decree, that baby is going to be a prophet. And that baby grew up at the age of 12 years old. When God said, go, he said, oh, what do I going to say? If you read the book of Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, it's not what you're going to say, it's what I'm going to say. I don't want your words. I want my word. You're going to be a boy. I want to speak to you. And so that's why the book starts in this way. Look at verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Amoth in the land of Benjamin. So now here's how the book starts. Now look in chapter 2, verse 1. After Jeremiah is informed that God wants to speak through him, look what he says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. You see that? That makes a difference. He started with a record of his history. This is my words. But then after God made him known that he's a chosen prophet in the belly of the mother, then Jeremiah writes the word of the Lord. Boy, that he was a chosen vessel. And I hope that when I preach to you, I preach the word of the Lord and not the words of Otero. So private murder, abortion is a no-no. You're killing somebody. I don't care how you go around, but you are killing somebody. Now, so much in America, this is a contradiction, that if a lady goes to a clinic for abortion, it's okay. The doctor and the lady should be killed, according to the scripture, but and that's what the scripture says. But in America, they get a certificate and honor. That's how far we are from the Word of God. But if you are driving your car and a lady who is pregnant with a thing in her belly cross the freeway and you hit that lady and she is killed, you are charged with two murders. Is not that a contradiction? It is a contradiction. So God cannot be mocked. Now also there is one more thing that is prohibited. Thou shalt not murder, and that is self-inflicted murder, what we call suicidal. Self-inflicted murder. There is something here in Romans chapter 13 and in verse 9 that perhaps help us. And there are two suicidals in the Bible. One is Ahithophel, one who hate David. In Romans chapter 13, verse 9 said this, for these thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill or commit murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think that this expression of this verse is saying to us this. If you commit suicidal, it's because at some point, you're lost in your mind, the understanding that there is one individual, if you're a Christian, I'm talking now, there is one person that loves you to the end, and that's God. If you're a Christian, there is one, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? I will never leave you. But could be in the depression of our heart. And as I deal with people over the phone and even with family members and my own family, that you get so depressed that you lose even consciousness of who you are. And I was talking to the pastor who's going to preach next Sunday here, who is a specialist on depression, Pastor Van Dyken, a certificate man from the Army of the United States, and some of you heard him when he spoke to the man, and he's going to be here. He's a specialist on depression. And he works for years in the hospital in Modesto, California, until enrolled for 25 years in the Army. He expressed to me this. He said, people, sometimes they don't see the future. And Christians, they don't see God. And I tell you something, when you don't see God, you see yourself as you are, and it's ugly. Is that right? It's ugly. So suicidal is prohibited. Now, where did murder come from? How can an individual in America, now I'm talking today, 1998, how can an individual in America, with all the goodies that we have, with all the entertainments and with all the things you can do as a laborer, and all the prosperity, between quotation marks, of this country, how can an individual lose track of himself and shot himself or kill somebody? How can that be? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, we have a master professor in murder. John chapter 8. His name is given right here in the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here is one source of murder, John 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and look at what he says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he is speaking a lie, he is speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what is the devil? He was, said the verse, a murderer from the beginning. He's a professor in how to commit murder, the devil. And so when those clinics people and those great doctors in America consent to the murder of a baby and the wounds of a lady, they do not follow medicine, they do not follow science, they do not follow educated technique, they follow the devil. They follow the professor, which is the devil. Now, still, the devil may lead you to commit suicidal. The devil may lead you to kill somebody. Why you do it? Why an individual, in the common sense, knowing the laws of the country, will do that? All right? The answer is in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, in verse 21. Look at what the Bible said. Jesus again teaching about this. Where murder come from? And psychologists in America will say, and psychiatrists, oh, we need to educate people better. We need to give more instructions for these and more instruction from the other. But here's what it is, Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, what else? Murder. My brother and my sister, from your heart proceeds murder. It's not a matter of education that will avoid murder. It is not a matter of being a college degree man. If you went to college and you get a graduate school and you finish as a lawyer or an engineer or whatever, you're going to be avoiding murder? No, sir. It is the heart of every individual upon this earth that is evil and depraved and capable of murder. So then, are we helpless? Are we at the mercy of our heart? No, sir. No, sir. What is the remedy? Well, remember, Satan is in business of leading you to murder, and your heart will consent to Satan and do it. So what is the solution? Ezekiel chapter 36. Here is what the Bible says. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. God is saying to the people, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, the depraved heart, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that senses God. And some people said, this is for the Old Testament. This is not for the New Testament. I guess they don't read the Bible well. Look in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And in Hebrews chapter 8, and in verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. See, when a person is led by God to understand that he's a sinner, he's totally depraved, and he's evil in his sense. And when he read the scripture, more you discover about the evil nature of your heart. When you read the scripture, you discover the depravity not only of yourself, not only, as the psychologist said, of your father and grandmother. You discover that you came from a rotten apple, which was Adam. You came from a no solution to all your life. But when you came to that, you said, God, be merciful unto me. A new heart and a new mind is given to you. Something that the psychologist cannot do, something that I as a pastor cannot do. Something that only God can do in his mercy. He said, Pastor, have you not said that the devil is the engineer of all of this? Oh, yeah, but look at what Jesus did. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says in 1 John 3, 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he, what? Might destroy, what? The works of the devil. That's what is hope. There is hope for you, there is hope for me, there is hope for people today, because Christ have come and have come to destroy the works of the devil. But then you said, Pastor, still, when you are a believer, you have a new heart and know the old heart? No, sir, I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't that way. I one time told my boss, I said, in radio, I said, I wish I don't have this old heart. So I, he said. But there is a remedy. What's the remedy? 1 John 4:4. You're in 1 John 3:8. Look in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than the one is in your heart. What a verse. What a verse. Greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. Man, oh man. When you are a Christian, when you are a Christian, when you are a real child of God, when God have really spoken to you, and when you really have become a child of God, and people tell me, hey, how you do it, Pastor, and they wait for me for a formula. 1, 2, 3, boom, child of God. No, here's the formula. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. And by hearing the word of God. You cannot become a child of God by a dream. You cannot become a child of God by wonders and miracles. Some people say to me, if God do this for me, I believe in him. No, sir. You know what the scripture said? Even if somebody come out of the tomb and walk right here, you will not believe it. And then Jesus said, they have Moses and the prophet. What is that? Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. That's how you become a believer. So what should I do? Don't look on it, and I mention and I pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 16, the Apostle Paul told Timothy these words, "Take heed unto thyself." People of God, take heed upon yourself. If you are no child of God, hold the Bible. Read it seriously. If you don't understand it, that's natural. If you don't believe it, that's expected. But one day, either you said, "This is all baloney," and then you throw it away. Or you say, "Wow, look at this here. And look at this here. And look at this here." And one day, in a natural way, in a way you don't expect it, in a way that you can't believe it, you become a believer. And all the things of the Bible will become sense to you. Without this book, you become religious, but not a Christian. With this book, you become a child of God. Take heed of thyself. Thank you, Father, for the gorgeous exhortation of your word. Thou shalt not murder. I will praise him. Number 464. Give us the grace to follow, because even in that issue, we need your grace. And for those who are in distress and depressed and under the power of the devil, Father, we pray, especially for those who are members of our family, we pray for your power upon their life, and your kindness and mercy, and in your will, in Jesus' name, amen.